appreciate it. Thank you. Beth Phage.
Beth
Phage. Like F, yeah. Heavenly Father, on this Palm Sunday, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness. We pray now that you would fill our hearts to overflowing with your presence, with your love, with your joy. May we not only be there on the roadside singing our hosannas on Palm Sunday, but on Good Friday, may we be there realizing that it was for us that he died on Calvary's cross. On Easter Sunday, may we rejoice that he is alive, and that because he lives, we can have eternal life also. Meet with us now and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Hosanna, Loud Hosanna.
Jesus, who led.
verses 1 through 11. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead.
Go into the village over there, he said, and you will see a donkey tied there with its coat beside it. Untie them and bring them here.
If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately send them. This was done to fulfill the prophecy.
Tell the people of Israel, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, even on a donkey's coat.
The two disciples did as Jesus said, and they brought the animals to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it.
Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road ahead of Jesus, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
He was in the center of the procession, and the crowds all around him were shouting,
Praise God for the Son of David. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven.
The entire city of Jerusalem was stirred as he entered. Who is this? They asked, and the crowds replied,
It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.
Be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, we need to remember Dawn Hood and her family on the passing of Brian. We had about 150 people in here yesterday. I instructed the funeral director to keep the doors locked until after midnight last night so we'd count them for church. But they got away, but we did have a good group here yesterday, and the family really appreciated their support and their prayers. Any other joys and concerns? God has answered all of our prayers. Isn't that wonderful? As we prepare for prayer, let's sing that chorus that you're so familiar with. The one that says, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Spirit of the living God.
Our Heavenly Father, on this Palm Sunday, we give you thanks and praise that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to be born in that Bethlehem manger, to live among us, to ride into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, to be crucified, to die, to rise again, reminding us that we can be victorious in life and in death. We pray today that you would be with each one gathered in this room. So many needs, So many cares and concerns, so many problems, so many frustrations. So many of us are realizing our limitations. We can't do the things we used to do. Someone said, you know you're getting old when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. And so often it seems that way, Lord. We realize more and more that we need your help. We need your strength. We need you to give us a joy deep inside that even when there's not happiness on the outside, we're full of your heavenly joy. Give us a peace in a world that seems so full of turmoil. We pray that you would remind us, Lord, that while there are so many things that we wish we had, there are so many ways that we feel that we're so deprived. Remind us again that those of us gathered here today are among the top 5% of the richest people in the world. Forgive us, Lord, when we take all of that for granted. Forgive us for those times. Forgive us for those times when we look at the rest of the world with dry eyes. We pray that you would be with the people of Syria today. We pray that you would be with those in North Korea. Oh, we think of them as the enemy, but remind us that there are so many hundreds of thousands of people there that are starving to death, while money is being spent on luxuries for the leaders and on military items. Remind us, Lord, that you're watching over those people in North Korea and Syria and everywhere else on the face of the globe. And we should be watching over them too, because they are our brothers and sisters. We pray today that you'd be with all of our world leaders. Give them a compassion. Give them a discernment. Show them what needs to be done and how it should be done by one nation under God. Be with our troops today. Watch over them. Keep them safe. Be with their families, Lord. Thank you for this very special time of the year. Remind us that we are indeed loved, that we are special to you. If no one else in all the world and all of history needed to be saved, if we were the only one, you would still have sent your son to die on Calvary's cross just for us. Thank you, Lord, for loving each one of us that much. Meet with us now and have your way. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. While the ushers are coming, let me also remind you, and I should have mentioned it before, continue to pray for Alice McNally and Larry. They need your prayers as she continues to recuperate. Also, remember Allison, our flute player. She's gone through a rough time. Do you know if she's home yet? She did finally come home yesterday. She's supposed to have been home midweek or first part of the week, and she's had problems with gallstones, so I know she would appreciate your prayers too. She's recuperating day by day. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness to us. We pray now that you would bless these, our gifts to you, for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
remain standing while we sing Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Seems by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me. First let me hear how the children stood round his knee, and I shall fancy his blessing resting on me. Words full of kindness, deeds full of grace, all in the love light of Jesus' face. Into the city I follow, the children's band, waving a branch of the palm tree high in my hand. What of his arrows, yes, I will see. What is Hosanna's, Jesus is King.
Remain standing, if you would, please, for the reading of the gospel.
Today's scripture reading comes from the 21st chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 16. When they neared Jerusalem, having arrived at Bethphage on Mount Olives, Jesus sent two disciples with these instructions. Go over to the village across from you. You'll find a donkey tethered there, her colt with her. Untie her and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, say, the master needs them. He will send them with you. This is the full story of what was sketched earlier by the prophet. Tell Zion's daughter, look, your king's on his way, poised and ready, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, full of a pack animal. The disciples went and did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They led the donkey and colt out, laid some of their clothes on them, and Jesus mounted. Nearly all of the people in the crowd threw their garments down on the road, giving him a royal welcome. Others cut branches from the trees and threw them down as a welcome mat. Crowds went ahead and crowds followed, all of them calling out, Hosanna to David's son. Blessed is he who comes in God's name. Hosanna in the highest heaven. As he made his entrance into Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken. Unnerved, people were asking, what's going on here? What is this? The parade crowd answered, this is the prophet Jesus, the one from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus went straight to the temple and threw out everyone who had set up shop, buying and selling. He kicked over the tables of loan sharks and the stalls of dove merchants. He quoted this text, my house was designated a house of prayer. You have made it a hangout for thieves. Now there was room for the blind and crippled to get in. They came to Jesus and he healed them. When the religious leaders saw the outrageous things he was doing and heard all the children running and shouting through the temple, Hosanna to David's son, they were up in arms and took him to task. Do you hear what these children are saying? Jesus said, yes, I hear them. And haven't you read in God's word? From the mouths of children and babes, I'll furnish a place of praise. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Noted, you may be seated. Although I've got to stand all during the sermon. Noted author Bill Henderson met a man on a cruise ship who claimed that he could tell what people did from a living just by their outward appearance. The man said, "See that passenger over there? He's a medical doctor." Well, Bill Henderson wasn't convinced, so he went over and talked to the man. And come to find out, he was indeed a physician. He asked the man, he said, "How could you tell?" The man said, "I saw the caring lines on his forehead and could tell he was a person of great compassion and came to the conclusion that he was a doctor." Bill pointed to another man and said, "What does he do?" The man looked at him for a moment and said, "Well, he's a lawyer." Bill went over and checked, and sure enough, the man was an attorney. The expert explained that the man had a scholarly look and appeared somewhat formal and aloof, probably indicating legal profession. Bill pointed to another man and said, "What does he do?" The man looked for a moment and said, "He's a preacher." Now, Bill Henderson went over to check, and the man replied, "No, I'm not a preacher. I'm just seasick. That's why I look so bad." Isn't it strange how preachers specifically and Christians in general have such negative reputations? If Jesus had been like that, the children would not have gathered to him. When I was associate pastor in St. Louis, the parsonage I lived in was just up the street from the church. One day I was out mowing the lawn, a lady came up, pulled up at the curb and screeched to a halt and jumped out of her car, came over to me and she said, "Are you the associate pastor at that church down there?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She said, "I thought so." She said, "I used to go to that church, but I got saved from it. I used to go to the movie theater, but I got saved from that. I used to go dancing, but I got saved from that. I used to go to the beauty salon, but I got saved from that." I already knew that. I could tell that, okay? But this dear heart told me everything she'd gotten saved from and never indicated anything she'd gotten saved to. I found out later that she had two sons who didn't go to church anymore. Guess why? There are a lot of people scared away from the church from this very sort of thing. If we are indeed the church of Jesus Christ, we should be overflowing with joy. We should be constantly adding people to the church who have learned because of the church and because of Christians that God loves them in spite of their failings. Teenagers with low self-esteem learn here that they are part of God's creation and they are very, very special. Those going through divorce, health issues, or financial problems find a supportive family here. This is a place where they can learn to smile again. Our joy should find expression and warmth toward each other. The church should be a hugging kind of place. Someone has said that everybody needs 4 hugs a day for survival, 8 hugs a day for maintenance, 12 hugs a day for growth. There are some people that don't receive a single hug all week long until they come to church. Within the church, we should have the radiance of Christ's love on our faces, the warmth of Christ's love in our handshakes and hugs. We are part of the most exciting party on earth. Now, let me say that. After saying that, let me say this to be politically correct. Not everyone likes to be hugged, okay? And that's all right. I was in one church where we had a man there. His name was Leroy. He hugged everybody. And he just seemed to have a gift for that because he got away with it. Now, Let me give you a little hint here. If somebody's coming toward you, and you would really rather not, that's okay. And if somebody comes like this and you'd rather not, a fist bump's okay, or an elbow bump, or just a nod of the head. And if you're this person, you learn to read them too. If they're like this, or like this, or like this, they're trying to tell you something, okay? Respect their space. If two people are approaching each other like this, you'd probably pretty well get the idea. Okay, there's a time and a place where it's all right. Learn how to do it through the love of Jesus. Nothing less. Now, let's get back to the scripture today. The sermon title is Here Comes a Parade. Just about everybody likes a parade, especially children. The atmosphere in Jerusalem on that very first Palm Sunday was like during a Christmas parade or the Main Street electrical parade at Walt Disney World. How many of y'all have ever seen that parade? We got a few here. Some of us have seen it a few dozen times, but it's totally awesome. That day in Jerusalem, hundreds of people were crowding the streets to see Jesus and the disciples. Several years ago, I received an email with this question: will there be parades in heaven? I don't know if you've ever thought of that or not. I've had people ask me if there would be pets and animals in heaven. I think so. My long answer is a little bit longer than that, but yeah, I don't have any problem whatsoever believing that. Those cats that won't talk to you here will be able to talk to you there. Okay? Anyway, I received this email from a friend of ours. She was a former church member of mine in Kissimmee, Florida. Ray and Lynn were good friends of ours. Catherine and I had been in their home numerous times. We had eaten a number of meals with them. We had kept in touch somewhat over the years. This email was from Lynn to let us know that her husband Ray had passed away. The Orlando Sentinel newspaper had run an obituary article telling about what a very special man Ray was and the enviable job that he held. I contacted the paper and they gave me permission to use part of that article. Pardon me, here's what it said. With the tip of his gray silk mayor's hat and a flip of his prestigious coattails, Ray dispensed unexpected privileges and lifelong memories to Walt Disney World guests. As the mayor of Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom, Ray kept busy strolling up and down Main Street, USA, greeting guests and selecting unsuspecting park visitors to act as the grand marshals for the daily afternoon parades. He brought so much happiness to people. The article went on to tell how Ray would often brighten up the lives of critically ill children or provide the perfect setting for a marriage proposal by allowing individuals to lead the parade. What a job. And Ray was the perfect person to do it. But after a long illness, Ray died at age 72. His widow, Lynn, asked me, I wonder if heaven will have parades. Here is my reply to her email. Lynn, in response to your question, I wonder if heaven has parades. I believe that God's kingdom here and there is supposed to be a party, a celebration, with many opportunities to rejoice. I cannot imagine God going halfway with a celebration. So my answer is yes. I am confident that there are parades in heaven. When the time comes, I'm sure that Ray will take you by the hand, and the two of you will be part of a parade that will make Walt Disney World's parades pale in comparison. Remember how antsy the children along the parade route at Disney World would get? They were tired. They were hungry. They were thirsty. Then the parade would come around the corner, and all of their discomfort was forgotten. They were in heaven. While on this earth, we're waiting for the parade. We get thirsty and tired and sick. Then God gives some of us an earlier invitation to see the parade and to be in it. Yes, the parade is coming. Today, Palm Sunday 2017, as we struggle day by day with our own personal lives, with children and grandchildren and parents and grandparents, spouses and brothers and sisters and neighbors and all of the other issues, my response is the same. Hang in there. The parade is coming. 2,000 years ago, children were probably sitting on father's shoulders. Others were peeping through legs and pushing and shoving. As the most controversial person in all of Palestine passed by on a donkey. Think with me. This Palm Sunday, almost 2,000 years later, the first Palm Sunday parade was very well planned. Matthew gives us the Old Testament background for the first Palm Sunday about the donkey. Over in Zechariah chapter 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble and riding on a donkey, even on a donkey's colt." The shout of the crowds, Matthew tells us about. Psalm 118, "Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord." You remember the crowds were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were quoting Old Testament prophecy. Jesus going into the temple. Isaiah 56:7, "I will bring them also to my holy mountain of Jerusalem and will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus commented on the nature of the temple that first Palm Sunday. Jeremiah chapter 7, "Do you think this temple, which honors my name, is a den of thieves? I see all the evil going on there," says the Lord. Children giving praise to Jesus in that first parade. Psalm 8, "You have taught children to give you praise." These five Old Testament scriptures were all fulfilled in one very special parade. And you know, as we look at them this morning, they seem to outline our daily Christian journey as well. Think with me. First of all, Jesus enters our lives. He wants to enter our lives just as he entered Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday. He comes with the Holy Spirit, and it's a grand event. Many of you will remember the name of Tom Landry, football coach. Before he died, he shared his testimony often. As a youth, he said, "If I can just be on a winning team, I'll be happy." As a high school player, he said, "If I can just play college ball, I'll be happy." As a college player, "If I can just go professional." as a professional player, if I can just be on a championship team. Tom said, after the enthusiasm wore off, every goal I reached left me the same way until I met Jesus Christ. Then I found what Jesus meant when he said, I'm come that you might have life and have it even more abundantly. Secondly, not only does Jesus enter our lives, but he brings out thanksgiving. When Jesus enters into our lives, we have reason to shout Hosanna, praise God. Dr. David Soper, in his book, God is Inescapable, writes that the one difference between a prison and a monastery is the difference between griping and gratitude. Criminals continually gripe, while self-imprisoned saints continually offer thanks. Dr. Soper says that when a criminal becomes a saint, a prison may become a monastery. And when a saint gives up gratitude, a monastery may well become a prison. Corrie ten Boom, in her book, The Hiding Place, tells of an incident that happened that taught her to always be thankful. She and her sister Betsy were transferred to one of the worst German prison camps they had yet seen, Ravensbrück. When they entered their barracks there, they discovered that the barracks were overcrowded and flea-infested. One of their first mornings there, they read from 1 Thessalonians, where they were reminded to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. Betsy told Corrie to thank the Lord for every detail of their new living quarters. At first, Corrie refused to give thanks for the fleas. That's understandable. But her sister Betsy persisted. Corrie finally gave up in her pleadings. During the months they were in that camp, they were surprised to find out how openly they could hold Bible studies and prayer meetings without guard interference. It was not until sometime later, after they had been released, that they learned that the reason that the guards wouldn't enter their barracks was because of the fleas. God moves in mysterious ways, says wonders to perform. Number three, just as on that first Palm Sunday, Jesus wants to cleanse us and make us a people of prayer. The first thing that he did when he entered Jerusalem was to go to the heart of the city, the temple, and begin throwing things out. If we invite Jesus into our heart, he's liable to do the same thing with us. He's going to come into our hearts. He wants to recreate our lives. He's going to say, your life is a den of iniquity. I want to make it a house of prayer. Now, Jesus is not looking for half-hearted followers. It doesn't work. You remember over in Revelation, God says, because you are not hot or cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. How many of y'all enjoy a good hot cup of coffee in the morning or any time during the day? How many of y'all like iced coffee? Yeah, I even got some of those. I haven't got into that yet, but yeah. How many of y'all like lukewarm coffee? Okay, that's not one of my things. Okay, if I go in a restaurant and order a cup of coffee and it's lukewarm, guess what I'm going to do? Yeah, I'm going to tell them to put another log on the fire. Okay, even 99.9% for Jesus doesn't cut it. Let's say that 99.9% was an acceptable standard, okay, in every area of our lives. That would mean that every day, hospitals would give 12 babies to the wrong parents. That may not all be bad. There are times when I think maybe they, never mind, we won't get into that, okay. It would mean 99.9% of okay would mean that every year 2 million documents would be lost by the IRS. 291 pacemaker operations would be performed incorrectly. 20,000 incorrect prescriptions would be written. And 114,500 mismatched pairs of shoes would be shipped. Just to name a few. Jesus wants you and me to be holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, H-O-L-Y, holy, holy. Fanny Crosby, Terry shared with us about her recently in one of the children's messages. As an infant, she was blinded. She always prayed before she started to write a hymn. She must have spent a lot of time on her knees because, as Terry told us, she wrote more than 8,000 hymns. She was often under pressure to meet deadlines. One time was in 1869 when she was trying to write words for a tune that a composer had sent to her. But the words just wouldn't come. She couldn't write. Then she remembered she had forgotten to pray. Rising from her knees, she dictated as fast as her secretary could write the words to the now famous hymn, "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross." One day in 1874, she needed $5. Now, at that time, $5 was about 2 weeks' wages. So she knelt and she prayed about the need. When she was finished praying, there was a knock on the door. It was an old friend who had just stopped by to say hello and to chat for a little while. As the friend prepared to leave, they shook hands, and the friend slipped something into Fanny Crosby's hand. Turned out to be a $5 bill. After rising from prayer, a prayer of thanks, she wrote the words to "All the Way My Savior Leads Me, What Have I to Ask Beside?" And finally, number four, just like Jesus did on that first Palm Sunday, here today in our lives, he wants to fill our hearts and mouths with praise. Charles Wesley wrote his first hymn just 3 days after his conversion. The hymn was, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." Not bad for a three-day-old Christian, was it? A glowing testimony of praise from that young Christian heart. As the years passed, Charles Wesley wrote more than 6,500 hymns and poems. God wants to give each one of us here today on this Palm Sunday 2017 a song of praise on our lips and in our hearts. Matthew reminds us that even from the lips of children, God receives praise. Palm Sunday is a good time to allow this process to start within us. Jesus wants to transform our lives, to give us a Hosanna, and to help us pray and praise. Life is difficult. There are times when we may become discouraged and tempted to even give up. But my message for you today is, be of good cheer. The parade is coming. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise. We pray now that you would fill us to overflowing with your joy. As we leave this place, not only on Palm Sunday, not only on Easter Sunday, but every day of the year, may people see that we are excited about the parade coming. Even when life gets difficult, we know that we've got something great and wonderful to look forward to for all eternity. Remind us May we share that message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us stand and join in. There's something about that name.
May you leave this place with your heart and your voice and your face reflecting hosannas to the King of Kings. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.